John Dutton with KC Cafe Radio on the phone with Michael Gaither, who is a host of a new podcast series. I don't know if we're going to call it podcast because technically for us it's a radio show, but it's actually a podcast that Michael has been doing for quite some time. It's called Songs and Stories. You can hear it Saturdays and Sundays here on KC Cafe Radio. Michael is also a singer-songwriter. His latest album is called Dog Speed. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for calling. And thanks for picking up the, whether we call it a podcast or a show, it's very exciting getting this out to one more place and a whole bunch of new listeners.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate it.
Tell us about Songs and Stories. How did you come up with the idea for this?
Really, how much time do we have? I'll give you like the Cliff Notes version, but basically I used to be a journalist for the local paper, Santa Cruz Sentinel. I've always done Rod Eden before. I've been a songwriter for about 8 years. And when I started my website about 5 years ago, to be honest, having the domain of michaelgaither.com seemed awfully narcissistic. I just wasn't used to promoting myself. So I put a blog on the front page and I'd talk about, you know, songs I was working on, usually music-related entries, not always, but usually. And then so it gave me something. And then I started reviewing other CDs, but mainly it was about me and I got kind of comfortable doing that. And then after my first CD, Spotted Mule and Other Tales came out, somebody suggested I do a podcast, and I really didn't know what it was. But basically, for those people that don't know, it's a big giant MP3 file, at least on my end, and it's formatted like a radio show, which is why radio stations seem like yours seem to like it. And I did a few episodes where I picked apart some of my songs, told the stories behind them, or I did some audio tours behind the scenes of different shows I was doing. But it was fun, but it was a lot of editing. It took a long time to put one show together. And then I thought, well, I used to interview other performers for the newspaper. Now that I am a performer, maybe I could give a different spin on it. So I went around and interviewed some local people that I knew so I could kind of get comfortable with it. And then I just, when somebody would roll through town who I liked, I'd contact them. And then it kind of went from there. And it was a nice way for me to put up new content really every 3 or 4 weeks, if not more often. And then after I did a few of those, it was just interviews. And then it became, well, while you're here, play us a couple of songs. Tell us the stories behind it. And that became really Songs and Stories.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know if I want to give it away. I've posted my 85th episode. I've got 3 or 4 more in the can. You know, so I've got a lot of material available for KC Cafe Arena to rebroadcast as the show, which is wonderful. And I think the angle that I kind of go with is I usually have no questions prepared. If I don't know the person at all, I might have like one opening question or use some default, like, you know, for those of people that don't know your work, tell us about yourself. And then we just go from there. So it's really an informal chat between a couple of songwriters.
Now your podcast is almost 3 years old now, isn't it? You're celebrating an anniversary real soon.
It's 3 years old this month.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So 3 years worth, and you've got, you said, 85 episodes now under your belt. How difficult has it been to come up with subject matter? Do you find it difficult, easy? What?
Well, because it's become mainly an interview series, it's really easy. I just find people that I like or know, and we sit down and talk to them. And what's happened is other people have sort of listened to what I'm doing, and they like it. And I think so it's actually fairly easy. As long as I have a couple of interviews kind of in reserve, I can keep this pretty regular, and I do. And I think for the really independent artists, it's nice, and these are comments that I've received from people, is that when I post these interviews, and they're often, you know, a 20-minute to half-hour interview, and then like a half-an-hour performance piece, and then I give the artist that link they can put on their site, so for their fans, they can go on to, say, I don't know, Sharon Allen or Paul Thorne or Lacey J. Dalton or somebody I've interviewed, or Keith Greninger, a local guy I like a lot, go to their site and actually be able to listen to them for an hour talk about their music and their songs, hear them play live. So it's actually been, once I got going with this and kind of, you know, got up the confidence and got a lot of shows under my belt because I've been doing it for 3 years, you know, I got kind of a, I don't know, catalog, I guess, of things that I've done. It shows that I kind of hopefully know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just keep, you know, when people come through town, I reach out a few weeks in advance, and sometimes they bite, sometimes they don't. And if not, there's always somebody that I could talk to.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing I haven't done is really spend the time to do episodes about, you know, my own songs on the new CD, which I think probably next month, especially since KC Cafe is playing a lot of cuts off Dog Speed, I want to sit down and actually do some episodes specifically about my own songs.
Yeah.
So I think I answered your question.
Now, have you done any radio in your past? You've been a guest as a musician, but have you done any work in radio?
No, you know, I've been sort of as a day job. I've done the corporate training thing. I did stand up comedy about four lifetimes ago, but never actually hosted a radio show. You know, where I'm bringing people on and going over the air. Mm-hmm. Never have.
Well, the reason why I ask is in your podcast, you know, you're very personable. Of course, I think that has a lot to do with the relationship that you have with a lot of the musicians that you interview. But you sound like someone who has done radio, and that's why I asked the question.
Has anybody ever told that to you before? Yeah, I've heard it from actually more than a couple of people. And I
maybe
really
it's a stand-up.
I sincerely and humbly appreciate that comment, because I was just flying by the seat of my pants, you know, trying to sound personable and trying. I guess when I started doing this, I listened to a lot of podcasts, and a lot of them, I learned a lot about what, to not be critical, what I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard some where people have music running throughout the whole thing while they're talking. Some are trying to be too funny, and some seem really down to earth. I guess like when you scan the radio dial, you find things you like and you don't like, and I just try to sort of emulate that and really just make it kind of interesting to me without forcing it. So for some reason it worked, mm-hmm. or it seems to work.
How was the acclimation into the technology for you? Did you find it fairly easy, or did it take a little bit of extra effort to get all this going?
Well, I've always actually the day jobs. I've always been kind of a tech guy. I'm not a programmer. I'm not a networking guy. But I've always been able to work with computers, make them work. This took a little more effort on my part. When I started my website, I had a friend who was pretty web savvy, and he built my original website for me, and he put the blog page together on the front. If you go to michaelgaither.com, you can kind of see the front's really just a blog that I can update easily, and then the supporting pages are shows and video and music. But what he did was he said, I'll set this up for you, but then I'm going to come down and show you how to maintain it, which was very smart, because a lot of musicians that I know have some web person who's doing it in their spare time, and they can't get it, their shows page updated. So I had somebody in my corner who taught me how to do this stuff, and when I did the podcast, I knew a couple of people that sort of knew what they were doing, so I would just toss them questions. So I, you know, read online a lot and just kind of figured it out on myself. So it was a learning curve, but it wasn't too steep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know as far as the mechanics of a website, I know enough to make it work.
You know enough to get yourself in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, talk a little bit about the subtitle of this podcast series, because you call it a not necessarily for musicians podcast. Do I have that correct?
What's my tagline? The not for musicians only music
there you go.
Podcast.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, so, I could be totally honest and say I just like spit that out when I was recording the promo one day for my first one, and it had no planning behind it, but that would be too easy. Mm-hmm. really, I think when I was scanning other podcasts, there were either podcasts that were basically radio shows playing music with a DJ, which wasn't what I was going to do, or they were podcasts, at least the ones that I found when I was sort of scanning the podcast waves, where they were specifically for musicians to market their music. And if you're doing your own music, you come across that stuff, but to me, I can only take so much of that. So I thought, well, what could I do that might appeal to both? So that was kind of where that came from, was let me talk to musicians about really their art and what they do, but not make it so, you know, music tech heavy that you'll lose people who just want to hear about the music. Mm-hmm. So, and I've heard comments from, you know, listening type people and musician type people, and they both seem to like what I'm doing. So whatever I stumbled across, it seems to be working.
I know, in a conversation that you and I had before when we were talking about getting the series on KC Cafe Radio, you talked about mm-hmm. how conscious you were of your website name, michaelgaither.com.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said earlier, it seemed, without really being self-promote, not having a reason to self-promote myself before. It just seemed having michaelgaither.com was kind of, you know, look at me, I have a website. But once I had the CD out and I was playing shows and really getting out there more, I thought, well, you need this, mm-hmm. you know. And then I think what's happened with this, if I can still call it a podcast, I'll stop calling it a podcast at some point in light of KC Cafe. But what happened with this is that it gave me a chance to promote other artists, but at the same time, it brings traffic to my site too. So I was kind of okay with it at that point.
Yeah. How much does your work as a musician help you with this?
A lot, actually, I would say. Well, the mechanics behind the website and the podcast, I mean, that's just something you learn how to do. But I think the approach, I try to make things, I try to put up content that's, you know, I try to put something new on the site at least every couple of weeks. And I think as a musician, in fact, I interviewed a friend of mine from L.A., James Hurley, who came by the house last Thursday and did the kitchen table talk where I actually do a lot of my interviews. The acoustics are really nice. And he was talking about doing this series. He goes, the nice thing about what you're doing, he said, you're pushing new content every few weeks. He goes, if you're just doing CDs, you're pushing new content maybe every couple, 3 years. So I think as a musician, it helped me because it allows me to keep my site kind of fresh and keep new things coming. And as I've seen from the statistics, keep people coming back looking for new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, and so what I try and do with these interviews is I'll do, you know, 4, 5, 6 interview shows, and then I'll do something about one of my songs, or I'll put up some live cuts from a show and talk about what I experienced at the show and why it worked or why it didn't. So
kind of that you build it and they will come theory.
Yeah, and it seems to be it's taken a long time for them to come, but people are coming. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, and of course, your latest album is called Dog Speed, and want to talk about that a little bit. Just released last year. Where'd you come up with the title for that? I like your album cover, by the way.
Thank you. That's me on the right, and that's on my dog, Roma, on the left.
You had to point that out.
Go to my website and take a look at it. I'm a dog person. My wife's a dog person, and she's not listening, so I can tell you that we have a warehouse chain out here called Costco, kind of like Sam's Club. And one day she said, oh, look, she had the catalog out, and she said, oh, look, here's a book called Dog Speed. And I went, wow, what a great title. And I looked, and she kind of misread the catalog, and it was actually called Dog Speak. It was a dog training book, but I thought, wow, Dog Speed, what a great title. It's kind of a pun, but it's kind of poignant. And so I had a couple of songs. As a songwriter, you learn to be a pack rat and you save everything you've ever written, and hopefully you go back to it. So I had 2 or 3 songs that were about dogs that didn't work. So I just pulled pieces of those and wrote this ballad about my dog called Dog Speed. You know, sometimes a little rest is all you need. You can listen to it on KC Cafe and hear the rest of it. That's where that came from. And this being my second CD, I was a little more confident going into this, and I really had the songs in mind that I wanted to record. So pretty much there are 2 covers on this CD, but pretty much all the songs are autobiographical. I live in a small farm town that's had some development here on the West Coast, but it's still a small farm town. So the opening track is I Miss My Town, which I believe KC Cafe is playing. Mm-hmm. There's one other dog song called Roselle, which is about a guide dog who walked her owner out of one of the Twin Towers on 9/11/2001. And so all true stories and pretty much all autobiographical.
Mm-hmm. And you seem to have a lot of fun with it, too. And that really does a lot for the music.
I think my approach, and I don't want to, you know, anger anybody with what I do. It's, you know, it's Americana. It's not quite folk. It's definitely not country. It's not blues. But, you know, I can't write a ballad really, except for Dog Speed. I can't write a ballad to save my life. And, you know, I didn't want to do sort of navel-gazing folk music because I'm not that. That's not what I do. I like story songs, narrative songs with a beginning, middle, and end for the most parts. And I like, for some reason, the small town I'm in, which is also near Santa Cruz, California, just feeds into a lot of what I write.
Yeah. So we've got your new album, Dog Speed. We've got songs and stories. It's not only a 3-year-old podcast, but now a show on KC Cafe Radio. And I'm looking at your website here. You got all sorts of things going on. You got Facebook. You've got MySpace. You got Twitter. How much time do you spend on all that?
more than I care to. As much time as I should spend writing songs.
Do you ever get inspiration from these sources?
You haven't heard my Facebook song, have you? If you're on my site, go to my video.
I was leading you into this. I've heard about the Facebook song.
if you go to my video page, there's a newer song called Unsuperpokeable. And for the three people that aren't on Facebook yet, when you join Facebook, the social networking site, which is a kind of a nice tool to reconnect with other people. A friend of mine, Steve, up in Northern California, said when he joined it, he was having fun with it, but he said a lot of people came out from under the woodwork that he really didn't want to see or hear from. So I kind of took that, because my wife notices that, you know, when you join this, all of a sudden, people in high school who wouldn't give you the time of day, all of a sudden they want to be your online friend. And I'm thinking, we didn't really talk 30 years ago. And so this is kind of a sarcastic kind of pointed song about some of that social networking.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The most interesting friends I think I have on my Facebook page are the ones that I never knew I had. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, I don't know who that is. But
in fact, there was one, I played one benefit in Santa Cruz last summer, and I had a couple of real high school acquaintances there, and one woman or girl that I went to high school with, her cousin was there, and he introduced himself, and I said, oh, you're one of my fake online friends. And he didn't laugh. It didn't work. So, and honestly, it's like all that stuff, they're, for a musician, they're very useful tools to have. Mm-hmm. And I think for just anybody, it's a nice way to reconnect with people from your past. But like anything, everything in moderation. You know, you could Twitter all day, and really, does anybody care if you had cornflakes for breakfast? But if you find an interesting news link and you post it, then it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, so all these online tools are great, but like anything, you can spend way too much time on. And I think to answer your question about how much time do I spend, I know a couple of numbers. If I have an interview recorded, the recording is all done, and I played it back, I can usually get a podcast together and up with the accompanying blog and the links in about 3 hours. You know, with my audio added to it, that's about 3 hours. Everything else, I just kind of add on the fly during the week.
Yeah. So. And I can't let you go if I don't ask you this question. Are you by any chance connected with the Gospel Gaithers?
I have an answer for that one now, because people kept asking me that and asking me that and asking me that. And my dad, his side of the family is all from Arkansas. So for the longest time, I'd say, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think we are. But enough people have asked me, and the answer I give now is, I said, well, I do have some gospel songs. Go check out my CDs, and I think we're cousins. Which is a nice safe answer.
You'd be happy to collect the royalties, wouldn't you?
If you could.
Yeah. In fact, when you Google your name, whenever I Google, because I have a Google alert to let me know when links come up about me, I'm always first, and there's a Mark Gaither, then there's the Bill Gaither Trio. Mm-hmm. I'm nestled in there somewhere. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, one quick comment about that Facebook song, too. It's kind of, a theme that I do as a songwriter. I should send you guys a copy of my first CD, too. I don't think you have it. But I tend to write a lot about the small town I live in, Santa Cruz, and living on the coast. Animals creep in a lot, obviously, the dog songs, and there's songs about horses and mules. And with Facebook, I have a set of songs that are, I guess they fall under the category of everyday annoyances. On my first CD, I had Good God Man, How Big a Car Do You Need, which was a rant about big SUVs, and NPR played it on Car Talk one weekend. I've got a song about Highway 17, which is this windy mountain road that connects Santa Cruz to Silicon Valley, and it's just a Bob Dylan-style rant about bad drivers. And on the new CD, there's a song called Hanging Up, which is sort of some cell phone scenarios. So that's kind of a thread of mine, too. Mm.
I notice you seem to like themes, and I see that in your podcast, too, quite a bit.
The podcast just seemed to happen, which is really cool. I'll do something, and then I'll do a follow-up podcast, and it must be something that I was thinking about when I interview the next person, or it just works out that way. In fact, I think I interviewed Keith Graninger and Dan Kaiho be up in a number of weeks, and then there's a local songwriter named Sharon Allen who's got a wonderful voice, finished her first CD about 6 months ago. I talked to her, and her interview really became a lot about the approach she took to recording, and she thought she was talking too much. And to me, it was the first person I interviewed that actually laid out the whole organization process of doing her CD. And then the following week, when my friend James Hurley was here, he talked about the process of recording his new CD. So I think these things are just kind of floating around and they kind of like fall into place as far as the podcast, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives them some continuity between them.
Yeah.
You know, and the same with the songs. I like to, you know, with a song, I don't like to have a song that goes too much over 3 minutes. So if I have more material or more ideas, I might take that and spin it off into something else.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Well, we will certainly look...
And the whole idea is keep it fun. You know?
We'll certainly look forward to hear more from you, probably on not only on your music on KC Cafe Radio, but on Songs and Stories. It airs Saturday and Sunday here on KC Cafe Radio. And if you can't wait for Saturday and Sunday, you can just go to michaelgaither.com. That's where the latest episode of Songs and Stories can be found. Michael, thank you for spending the time with us.
Thank you, and thanks again for airing the podcast. And if anybody finds their way to my site, give me a holler. I'd love to hear from some of the listeners. I really appreciate it.
All right. Michael Gaither on KC Cafe Radio.